You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked On Angels.
What's up, everybody? My name's Patrick Zajac, your host of Locked On Angels, minor league play-by-play man and first row rider of the emotional sports roller coaster that is Angels baseball. Welcome again in to your daily Angels update here, your team every day on LockedOnSports.com, LockedOnAngels.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter and find the main site for the pod itself. Tough loss, man. It's tough to lose a ball game when Mike Trout hits two home runs. And I think now we're getting to that point approaching mid-June, about a month to go now until the All-Star break. Halo's five games out of a playoff spot in the American League. Maybe it's time for Billy Epler to start making some moves. That's going to be segment number one's focus here today. Segment number two, part two of our draft breakdown and analysis with a special guest. This time, Brent McGuire of The Athletic covers the Angels there, as well as the Angels' main prospect man at Prospects 1500. So he joins the show in segment number two for the Down on the Farm report, looking at the draft. And then lastly, want to get again to the Shohei Ohtani news coming out that this guy needs Tommy John, probably going to have Tommy John surgery, and then it's refuted by the Angels brass. Want to get my thoughts on that in today's episode. But first, as I alluded to, I think it's time for Billy Epler to make a move and make it quickly. And the reason, you know, I was chatting with some buddies, as I usually do. I got my best friend back home, Albert, who's been a season ticket holder for pretty much my entire lifetime. He's been a season ticket holder since we were in junior high. So when we need to vent about the Angels, we kind of do it back and forth to each other, try and make ourselves feel better, or, you know, get down in the dumps together. That's the whole point of fandom, right? Especially when you have it with friends. So we're chatting back and forth, and man, this loss to the Mariners really seemed to take it out of both of us. And I was thinking back, like, man, why is that? It's not like it was a heartbreaking finish. Like, yeah, Andrew Heaney had a bad start, but he's been pitching so well as of late. The bullpen shut things down, or at least kept the Angels in it for six innings or five innings in this one. And the offense had opportunities, but just didn't come around. And I got to thinking, you know, why does this loss hurt? And coming into today, the Angels 7-2 in their last nine. Yes, those wins came against the Rangers and the Royals and the Twins, all teams well below 500 and disappointing so far this year. But think about it. At the start, or before that 7-2 stretch, before these last 10 games now, the Angels are now worse off than they were 10 games ago, or at least right there. I think they were five games out of the division exactly when they started 10 games ago. And now they're 5.5 after losing this game to the Mariners and dropping a full game. Five games back of the Astros for that second wild card spot as they were idle. And it's tough when you go 7-2 and you don't gain any ground. That's how well the Astros and the Mariners are both playing right now. And I know we're all waiting for this Mariners team to come back down to earth or start slumping in their annual swoon as they usually do. And granted, there's still plenty of time for that, but if it's not going to work out for the Halos when you're going 7-2 against the bottom feeders in the American League, if everyone else is doing it too, that means you got to win those ball games when you play the teams in front of you. And I think that's why game number one of this series hurts a little bit, is that you drop that game to Seattle. Now you're forced to win two in a row just to take the series, which is going to be tough, although I do enjoy the pitching matchups that are coming forth. But with the guys that are down right now, Shohei Ohtani and Andrelton Simmons, Cole Calhoun, Jeffrey Marte had to leave the ballgame early. Hopefully his wrist injury is okay moving forward, but you're losing a lot of firepower in that offense. I know Cole Calhoun wasn't exactly firepower, but Andrelton Simmons, Shohei Ohtani's bat, not to mention what he provides to you on the mound. It's time for Billy Epler to take a serious look at the trade market and pull the trigger before, you know, all other teams get involved on the bidding process, which I'm sure they are already, but man, I'm looking at a pair of Royals guys that would slide right into a couple of needs for this ball club. for the Royals, Kelvin Herrera, their closer, and Mike Moustakas, third baseman. Maybe you're able to swing a trade for both of them in a perfect world. I don't know what that takes, but I'm willing to give up a top five prospect in this system in order to make it happen. A lot of talent in the outfield across the Angels organization where I think you feel okay making a move for the right guys. If it's a Jamai Jones, if it's a Brandon Marsh, that I'm making a move to get in a package for Mike Moustakas and Kelvin Herrera, albeit on rentals. Mike Moustakas does have a mutual option, team and player, for 2019. But I like what Mike Moustakas can bring. You can DH him with the vacancy there, force Albert to play first, or have Moustakas play a little bit of first and third here and there. Big left-handed power bat Moustakas on the season. He's up to 13 home runs, 42 RBIs. That's ninth in the American League. And on base percentage at .321 above his career average. So maybe that goes down a little bit. We know Billy Epler likes guys with a .330 on base percentage at above. But I'm looking at Moustakas as the perfect fit in the Angels lineup right now. And I know I wasn't saying that in the offseason, that I was kind of happy that the Angels didn't go after him. But at the price right now, without the long-term commitment, sign me up. $5 million this year with a $15 million option for next year. Mutual option so the team can back out if he fizzles out. I'm okay. And somehow getting Kelvin Herrera for the back end of that bullpen, even though they pitched phenomenally last time. The point is, making these moves puts you in a better position to beat the teams ahead of you, the Astros and the Mariners. You're going to have close 1-2 run ball games against these squads down the line if you're contending and they're still playing well. And it's another at-bat here and there that could be the difference in this ballgame. Mike Moustakas maybe gets a base knock in a couple of situations there in this ballgame. Or leaves the yard and changes the complexion of the game. Drop down Albert Pujols to the 5 spot. Andrelton Simmons comes back. Maybe he hits 6. Maybe he hits 5th and drop Pujols all the way down to number 6. Then you still got Cozart and Valbuena and Maldonado down there. Options, lengthen the lineup. I know a lot of guys still got to turn things around. Ian Kinsler and Zach Cozart, most notably. Luis Valbuena's in that mix as well. Injuries have taken their toll. Guys got to step up, but I think there's no better time than right now, because if you wait too much longer, division certainly feeling like it's sort of out of reach, given how well the Astros and the Mariners are playing compared to the Angels. And maybe that wild card spot starting to slip away. I know, woe is me, I'm feeling kind of down, even though the team is 7-3 in their last 10. It's just tough because you go 7-3 and you're losing ground in the race. That's what's more frustrating than everything. And maybe that's where my thoughts for this episode stem from. But something's got to turn around. Something's just not clicking for this team quite yet. I know we've had glimpses of it in April and May, but it feels like quite a while since it's been a team that's been firing on all cylinders. About a month or so, even though, like I said, 7-3 in their last 10. These are the games you got to win. Hopefully the team bounces back with Jaime Barría on the mound. Coming up next, down on the farm report, part two of our Angels draft class analysis from the 2018 draft last week, this time with The Athletic's Brett McGuire. But first, you guys want to sponsor the show, know someone that does, hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Reasonable rates. Let's open up that conversation, you Orange County, Anaheim, Southern California business owners. Have a chat with me, man. LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. All right, Tuesdays, that means it's always our Down on the Farm report, and a special guest, The Athletic's Brett McGuire, to break down the Angels draft class, coming at you.
We're Angels, not Cowboys.
Here's your Down on the Farm report.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Brett McGuire joining the podcast to talk fallout from the Angels draft. And before we get into the draft, Brent, I want to talk about the Shohei Ohtani news that broke right before the weekend. Ruined my Friday, personally, but the news of Shohei Ohtani with a grade 2 sprain of his UCL What do you make of it? I sort of came out talking about how the Angels rotation doesn't necessarily concern me with Shohei Ohtani being out. I'm more so concerned about now the offense having without his bat in the lineup on a every day or every other day basis as it was basically. I'm more worried about the offense getting it done. Big news that he's out. How did the Angels come back from it? What was your takeaway from the Shohei Ohtani injury?
So obviously Ohtani is so unique that his absence is going to hurt both the rotation and the offense, like you said. And I do agree. I think the offense is going to take a bigger hit here because the rotation has been surprisingly good this season. I know there's a lot of question marks surrounding the health and performance of certain guys, but I think the rotation might be able to pick up some of his absence. Obviously, it's going to be an awful replace when he's done, but yeah, just from an offensive perspective, he's been crushing it all year. And I think more importantly, he's been their only left-handed option on this roster that's been able to hit this year. So not only are you losing a good bat, but they become awfully vulnerable against right-handed pitching. So it might be something they have to address at the trade deadline or sometime coming up soon. But yeah, his absence is obviously huge on numerous levels.
Yeah, we'll see where the team is at and what is announced when he's reevaluated in 3 weeks here. I know a lot of people speculating maybe he can still hit while nursing that injury and just keep him off the mound. Only time will tell if the Angels even view that as an option. But let's get down to the draft. Last week, the Angels and all of Major League Baseball held the annual draft. What is your takeaway from how the class shaped up? What did you like? What didn't you like about what Billy Epler and company did last week?
So I think it was pretty clear that Billy Epler was going for high upside across the draft and was willing to take some risks on certain players. I mean, it starts off with Jordan Adams, their first round pick, who was a two-sport athlete in high school, had a football scholarship to North Carolina. Obviously, he's going to sign with the Angels now, but he's a bigger risk than some of the guys they've taken in the past. Obviously, Epler has gone more for high-risk guys compared to Jerry DePoto, but there was, I would say, more of an emphasis on that high-risk, high-upside guys rather than taking any sort of safer floor or high-floor type of guy. So Adams is very interesting on numerous levels. I saw several reports saying that he was a top-five talent if he would have just been playing baseball. And then you look at their second round pick, Jeremiah Jackson, is probably a little bit more of a safe pick just based on the fact that he hits a little bit more at present. But just across the whole draft, there was this clear emphasis on taking these high upside guys. And given where the Angels are at right now, I don't think that's a bad option for them because the system's getting a lot better. If you take these chances on certain guys and some of them work out, it's going to help the farm system quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So big high upside guys, definitely with the first two pick, as you mentioned, in Adams and Jackson. Then after those first two rounds, the Angels pretty much across the board on day two took nothing but collegiate pitchers for the most part in rounds 3 through 11. What are guys that jump out at you out of those arms, like I said, rounds 3 through 11? Any guys that stick out more than others?
So I think the third rounder, Aaron Hernandez, has supreme upside. This guy's got three above average to plus pitches. I know there's some command issues right now. There's some relief risk in his profile, but the guy's really good. And I think right now they're trying to work him out as a starter. He might be a reliever down the road, but I think they try to stick him in the rotation for right now. And I do like their fourth rounder, Kyle Bradish from Texas A&M. He's got four above average pitches across the board. I think there's more of a chance that he ends up pitching out of the bullpen compared to the rotation, but another interesting arm. And then their fifth round pick is a guy definitely worth mentioning. His name is William Inglis, and Billy Epler's already said they're going to try him both as a pitcher and an outfielder. And based on the video that I've seen, the reports I've heard, this guy's a little more advanced than your prototypical high school player, especially one that's trying to do both hitting and pitching. So he's one of those guys that's going to be worth monitoring. And you see what they've done with Ohtani, like the routine and the schedule they've had him on. And it makes you think that they might have a leg up on other teams that are trying to do the same thing. They found something that has worked for one of their players. And I'm definitely fascinated to see what this guy can do in the minor leagues as both a hitter and a pitcher.
Yeah, certainly with English, as you mentioned, being out of high school, especially another one of those high upside type guys that seem to be pretty much rampant through the Angels 2018 draft class. As we move on into the later rounds, is there anything worth noting there? You know, rounds, no, we just talked about rounds 3 through 11, maybe day 3 picks in the 20s and 30s that kind of stood out to you, or guys that you think could contribute to the big league club somewhere down the line? I know it's kind of hard to predict a week after the draft, but any of those guys stick out at you?
So there's one guy, their 21st round pick was a guy named Christian Reyes, who wasn't pitching at any school and is 23 years old. And I was actually confused at first because I didn't think a guy like this was draft eligible, but apparently he was. And the Angels saw him pitch recently and was allegedly in the 94 to 97 mile per hour range, touched 98, 99 miles per hour, was throwing an above average splitter. So he's definitely fascinating to me. I don't know what level this guy starts off with, because he's just, you don't draft 23 year olds with this type of background very often. I think he's one of those guys that maybe makes it up to the majors within a couple years, just based on how old he is and how good the stuff is. And if he's a guy that makes it to the majors, like within a year or two as a 21st round pick, that's quite a steal. So he's definitely one of those guys that I'm interested in, mostly just because there's not much out there on him other than this report that came out from the Angels.
Yeah, especially being 23 years of age, in order to advance all the way up to the big league level, going to have to start facing the upper echelons of the minors and see what happens moving forward. But Brent, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on the podcast once again to talk about the Shohei Ohtani news and the Angels' most recent draft. You can find your work where? Tell the people, Brent.
You guys can find me on Twitter. It's at BMags94.
Awesome. Brent, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, take it easy. All right, guys, that was our chat with The Athletic's Brent McGuire. Always an awesome treat to have him on the show. Special thanks to both Brent McGuire and Taylor Ward for taking time out of their busy schedules. I know they got a lot going on, especially now with all of their requests post-draft. They do a great job in covering prospects all throughout the pipeline. We've had both of those guys on the podcast. Certainly plan on inviting them back again very soon, because their analysis and opinion are unrivaled across the industry. I like bringing in as many different types of voices as possible. They're two of my favorites. Special thank you, Taylor Ward and Brent McGuire, for coming on the show this week. Like I said, always welcome, always a pleasure to have those types of guys on the show. One more segment to get to. Want to quickly get my thoughts on the reports that came out that Shohei Ohtani probably needs Tommy John surgery. So we did get a couple of news, or so we thought, a couple of new news, breaking news on Shohei Ohtani. Pedro Gomez and Keith Olbermann of ESPN were reporting that Shohei Ohtani will probably need Tommy John surgery. The Angels coming out, Billy Epler saying nothing has changed since we released that he's going to be going on the mend with that grade 2 UCL sprain after taking a PRP and stem cell injection and then being reevaluated in 3 weeks. Now, that's not surprising that a couple of ESPN guys misreported something that wasn't true. Wow. Shocker there, right? I know. The other thing is that Billy Epler said it's entirely possible that this season they're cautiously optimistic, I think was the word, that he'll play later this year. Even if it's not pitching, they hope to have him back in the lineup maybe come August or September, getting ready for a playoff run. That's intriguing and positive news. Now, I still don't think we can quite count on that. Again, so much up in the air, and we don't know. We can't really say for sure what's going to happen until Shohei Ohtani gets reevaluated in a couple of weeks, right? But for the meantime, it does give you the hope that maybe Ohtani can be plugged back into the lineup, because, again, that's where I said that this team is going to struggle the most in his absence. And I know Andrew Heaney had a rough start. I still believe in this rotation to get it done, and I'm looking forward to Barria's start here tonight. But we saw how much the Angels' offense struggled outside of Mike Trout and a solo shot by Albert Pujols. You can't win games but with a bunch of solo home runs, man. You got to get guys on base. You got to drive them in. And right now, this Angels lineup doesn't have the length to compete against a Wade LeBlanc, against the rotations in this division, man. Wade LeBlanc made pitches to get out of innings on very hittable pitches, in my opinion. And it's just the length in the lineup. The depth isn't there to cover guys ahead. And the Mariners are just going to keep pitching around guys like Mike Trout, for the most part and letting everyone else beat them. And with everyone else struggling, it's tough sledding. So if you can get Ohtani back, hopefully the Angels are in the playoff race still at that point. I would think you still have to make some moves at the trade deadline in order to make that happen, unfortunately. But it does give you hope moving forward. And again, what do we all learn? Don't trust ESPN breaking news when it comes to Major League Baseball. Stick to the Ken Rosenthals of the world and John Morosis of the world and Jeff Fletcher, Orange County Register man, who we've had on this podcast covering the Angels on the beat there. So a few of my favorite follows, a selfless little plug, shameless plugs there for some guys that I enjoy following. But as for this episode, that's going to do it, guys. As always, you can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Angels. Follow me if you'd like on my personal Twitter at OtherPatZajac with M Season right around the corner to get your Eugene Emeralds updates. Subscribe, rate, review, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you find podcasts, we're there. Listenership continues to climb. You guys have been awesome. Spread the word, Locked On Angels, and subscribe to the newsletter on the website, LockedOnAngels.com. Have a great Tuesday, y'all. Hopefully the Angels can bounce back with a win and even up the series. I got to get out of here. Peace.